All right, take your Bible this morning, if you will. Let's go to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, preaching again on one of the great questions that's in the Bible. A lot of marvelous questions are asked in the Bible. And this morning, if you're familiar with your Bible and just thinking about this series, you knew sooner or later I'd get to this, all right? Because this one has to be dealt with. I believe it ought to be considered by every person on the face of the earth, ought to think of this. And in some sense, I believe that every person does meet this question at some point. And you get an answer. You make your answer. Matthew 27, look if you will, verse 15. The Bible says, "Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him.
Yes, sir.
When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus.
Right.
The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. Hey, here's the question. What shall I do with Jesus? What shall I do with Jesus? I'll be honest with you. I believe success, happiness, and contentment for this life hinges on your answer to that question. You say, Preacher, you believe that? I believe it. Your success, your happiness, your contentment here hinges on what you answer and what I'll do with Jesus. And I guarantee you, your eternity is going to be determined by your answer to what shall I do with Jesus. It will determine your eternity. I believe, we say, well, there's all kinds of things people can do, and there are. But honestly, people really haven't changed. We like to look and think, well, hey, man, we have moved so far along now in years that we're not anything like people in past times. Yeah, we're the same. People really haven't changed. And I believe folks in our day follow the lead of people we find in the Bible when it comes, when Jesus walked the earth. And I think we can see it in answer to the question, what will I do with Jesus? Folks today still do what the folks did in that day when it comes to what will I do with Jesus. Let me give you several illustrations. I hope you'll see it with me this morning. The first thing people, I think, like to do is avoid him. Avoid him. And there's no greater example of somebody trying to do that than Pilate. Pilate had the Lord Jesus Christ dropped in his lap. He didn't want it. He didn't ask for it. But they brought Jesus to him. And he did everything he could to really avoid the whole issue. He tried to pass him off to somebody else. They sent him back to him. He tried to get the people themselves to, see his innocence and pass him along. He tried to get the folks to take a substitute. Well, let's take somebody else instead of Jesus. All that time, what he's doing, he's trying to avoid the Lord Jesus Christ. People today still do that. It's amazing as you listen to them. People today still try to avoid Jesus Christ. It's one of those situations when you talk to them about the Lord, people say, well, I don't have time right now. I don't have time right now. This past Wednesday, I wasn't really feeling too good. My doorbell rang, went outside, and there's a guy trying to get me to go to a different, was it electricity or internet carrier? I'm not sure. But I finally said, hey, man, honest, don't really feel good, all right? And I was telling him the truth, didn't feel good, and I said, try it again another day. I wasn't trying to just get rid of him. I didn't feel good. I would have talked to him otherwise. A lot of people today, when you try to talk to them about the Lord, well, I don't have time right now to do that. Hey, or they say this, religion is a private thing. Religion is a private thing. What are they doing? I just want to avoid the Lord Jesus Christ. I like to put that question off. Just put it off. We're like Felix when he said, some more convenient season. Some more convenient season. Hey, I'm too busy making a living right now. Or I'm too busy having a good time. Or, you know, I've got my school to get through with. Or I've got this, or I've got that. What are you doing? I'm just trying to avoid the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, what are you going to do with him? Well, I just like to avoid him. Just like to avoid him. Hey, people did that in the Lord's day. They do it now. They do it now. Take your Bible with me, if you will, to John chapter 20. There's another thing people do today that they did in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, all right? In John chapter 20, we want you to look down, if you will, in verse 24. Now, this, just so you'll be familiar, this is after the crucifixion and it's after the resurrection. And the Lord had appeared to his disciples. Verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. Man, can you imagine the excitement they had when they said that statement? There ought to be about 15 exclamation points behind. We have seen the Lord. Amen. But here's Thomas. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Hey, everybody today is familiar with Thomas. But there's a moniker that goes with it. He's known as Doubting Thomas. Why? Because of this instance right there in John chapter 20. Doubting Thomas. Now, wait a minute. Thomas went on to do great things for the Lord. According to history and what comes down through us through history, Thomas did a great service for the Lord, served the Lord until he was martyred for the cause of Christ. But when we say Thomas today, we're inclined to say Doubting Thomas. Why? Because he doubted the Lord. You said, well, wait a minute. No, you wait a minute. The Lord had told him, I'm going to be crucified, but I'm going to rise again. Amen. He had told him, right? He had told him that was going to happen. This wasn't news. This wasn't a brand new story. He had told him, I will be crucified, but I will rise again. Amen. That's coming. You can count on it. But here's Thomas. He wasn't there when the Lord showed up the first time after that resurrection. And when the disciples that were there tell him about it, he said, I ain't believing it unless I can put my finger in that nail print in his hand. Or I can stick my hand in that place in his side where, you know, he was stabbed and he was, you know, they were thrust that sword into him. Unless I can do that, I won't believe. He doubted. He doubted. Man, what a shame. You know what? Old Thomas has a host of friends today. They're doubters. They doubt the Lord. They doubt the Lord. You know what? Even a lot of people in the name of Christ profess to be saved, and I believe many instances are saved, but they still doubt him. They doubt him. I don't think he can do it for me. I don't believe he'll do what he says. Preacher, you get up there and you preach on giving, and you say, put me first, and, you know, take the tithe out, and man, I just don't think he can do that. Yeah, but you think he can save your soul and get you to heaven, but you don't think he can make you make it in this world? We doubt the Lord. We're doubters. What will I do with Jesus? Well, I'm going to doubt him. I'm going to doubt him. What a sad commentary. What a sad testimony for you to leave for Christ and you just say, well, I just doubt he can do that. Now, I know the Bible says it, all right, but I doubt he can. Or I doubt he will. Hey, I even doubt he wants to. Man, the Bible says he does. We live in a time, though, people doubt what he says. Doubt what he said. When people say, I doubt he loves me. Why would you doubt that? Well, I just don't deserve it. Well, look around. Find somebody that does deserve it. There's nobody walking the face of this earth deserves the love of God today. But he loves you. He loves you. I'll just clue you in. You go wherever you want to. And you look at every face you look into, you're looking into the face of a person God loves. Amen. And that person, God loved him so much, he sent his son to die for that individual. And that includes you too. Amen. But people doubt him. People today doubt he's coming again. Doubt he's coming again. We get into bad times. We get into tough times. That's when people begin to doubt the Lord. Oh, but there's a great old song that says there's no need to doubt him now. He'll make a way somehow. And he will, and he does. So what will I do with Jesus? I'm going to doubt him. I just doubt, preacher. I mean, I doubt he can do those things, or I doubt he will. Wait a minute. Wrong attitude. Take your Bible. There's another reaction. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Here's one that did something with Jesus that maybe all of us would say, preacher, I'd never do that. Well, don't be too sure. Matthew chapter 26. You have your Bible there. Look in verse 70. Bible said, but he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. Drop down to verse 72. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. Verse 74, then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. So what happened? He said, what will I do with Jesus? Well, I'll deny him. I'll deny him. Now, you know your Bible and you're familiar. We've heard about Peter. This is where he's talking about three times. He denied the Lord just like the Lord said he would. But remember what Peter said when the Lord said, you're going to deny me. He said, not me. Amen. Though everybody else will, not me. Right. Say, preacher, I'd never do that. Peter did that very thing. Wait a minute. Peter had walked with the Lord. Right. He had fellowshiped with him. He had followed him. Hey, he was one of those been on the Mount of Transfiguration, right. Saw the Lord transfigured. He was the one involved in all that. He had learned at his feet. But when it got dangerous, he denied even knowing him. You said, preacher, I'd never do it. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people found right there. I'd never say I didn't know him. Now, wait a minute. Maybe. But I just want to throw something out. How many chances have you had to stand up for him? How many opportunities have come your way for you to stand up for him and give a great solid testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ, but you sat there quiet. Never opened your mouth. Never uttered a sound. But I didn't deny him. Wait a minute. I heard this when I was a kid. Silence gives consent. And I never did understand it when I was a kid, but I understand it now. Silence, yeah. Boy, sometimes our silence, our very silence denies the Lord. God's given us a chance. He gives us an opportunity to stand up for him, give a word for him, make a testimony for him, brag on him just a little bit, and we don't say a thing. Don't say a thing. Oh, listen. Oh, you didn't stand up and say, I never knew him. But you didn't stand up and say, I do know him. He's my King. He's my Savior. Hey, we deny him. What shall I do then with Jesus? Well, I'll avoid him. I'll just avoid him. And I don't have to meet it. Or I doubt him. I doubt he can. I doubt he will. I doubt he did. Or I'll deny him. A lot of people do that. Same chapter, Matthew chapter 26. Back up just a little bit. Would you look at verse 48? Verse 48, now the Bible said, now the he that had betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. Here's Judas. Judas, the one who was the treasurer for the group of disciples. Judas, the one that had gone out and for 30 pieces of silver had made the deal to betray the Lord. And said, I'll lead you to him. I know where he's going to be. And I'll lead you to him and I'll identify the one so you'll know for sure who it is. Even in the darkness of night, I'll kiss him. What a hypocrite. What a hypocrite. To say, hail, master, call him master. To greet him as a friend would greet another friend. When all of that wasn't true. It was all a lie. It was a lie. What will I do with Jesus? Well, if you're like Judas, you'll betray him. You'll betray him. You say, well, he's not here where I can kiss him. Yeah, I know. But here we live in a day where people act and talk like they know the Lord, but refuse to do what he says. Look in Luke chapter 6 with me, would you? Luke chapter 6, would you just take your Bible there for a moment or two? Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Here's the example, and the Lord speaking. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, we find this verse. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Said, yeah, you call me Lord. Judas said, hail, master. He wasn't his master. People today live in this old world and profess to know the Lord, but absolutely refuse to do what he says. There's a lot of people that are just all show, but no substance to them. When it comes to their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, it's just a big facade. It's just out there to impress people. It's just out there to, hey, make you think I'm something, when truthfully, you're not anything like that. Hey, you can call him Lord, Lord, all you want to, but when are you going to start doing what he says? When are you going to start obeying him? When you start living for him? When will you decide, I'm going to keep his word? I'm going to seek his will. I'll find his will for my life, and I'll serve him. I'll serve him. What will you do with Jesus? I'll just betray him. I'll betray him. That's what Judas did. Hey, it can get worse. Look, if you will, in Luke chapter 23, would you? Luke chapter 23. When it comes to what people will do with Jesus, some people avoid him, some doubt him, some deny him, some betray him. But boy, you talk about the biggest mistake you can ever make in this world. You can follow the example of the man in Luke chapter 23, down in verse 39. One of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. The Lord, if you're familiar with this account of the crucifixion, the Bible tells us he hung between two thieves. One of them, the Bible says, this malefactor that was on one side of him railed on the Lord Jesus Christ and said, man, if you're Christ, save yourself and us. Here's a man that absolutely, totally rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, he knew the claims Jesus had made. If not, why did he say, if thou be Christ? Listen, we're not talking about in this day a country the size of the United States with the population maybe of communist China or even India with billions of people. We're talking about a small area, that little country of Israel, small area. You said, but preacher, there was no television, there was no radio, there was no internet, but there was people. And if there's one thing people like to do, people like to talk. And they spread, you know what Jesus did. The Bible said it was noised abroad. Abroad. What he did, man, it went out. The miracles that he did. Don't you know people talked about it? Don't you know people talked about how that day he went there to the pool of Siloam? And here's a man laying there, been there 38 years. Wait a minute, that wasn't done in a corner somewhere. Those folks knew where that pool was. They knew how the water could be disturbed, and the first one in after it was disturbed was healed. That was not just one person that it happened to. It happened to more than one. There was many that were there at the pool. And that day they heard, hey, you hear about the guy that got healed at the pool of Siloam? And surely somebody said, man, the water got disturbed again. No, it was different this time. Remember that fellow they called Jesus? He showed up. And he got to talking to a man there and he asked him the question, wilt thou be made whole? The water wasn't stirred, but that fellow got up. That lame man got up and walked. Don't you know people heard about that? Hey, what do you think went on in that country after that day Jesus went to the city of Bethany? And went out with Mary and Martha out to the cemetery where Lazarus was buried. You don't think word got out? Man, you know word got out. Said, you may not believe this, but that fellow Jesus went down and he went to the tomb of a guy named Lazarus down in the city of Bethany. And he had him roll the stone away from his tomb. And he'd been dead 4 days. But you're not going to believe this. I was there and I nearly passed out when I saw it myself. So I was standing there and I heard Jesus cry out, Lazarus, come forth. And he came hopping out, bound in those grave clothes. He said, I thought, man, it's a set deal, but they said, loose him and let him go. And I saw him unwrap it. And you know what? It was Lazarus. I knew him. I knew him. Hey, listen, that malefactor had heard that. That sorry thief had heard that. He had heard what Jesus had done. He had heard about his miracles. But the only thing really he was concerned about was what's in it for me. Not on the spiritual plane, but you look there at that verse again, verse 39, because I want you to notice especially that last little two-letter word. He said, if thou be Christ, save thyself. And us. He wasn't worried about Jesus, but he said, man, I sure would like some help physically. Physically. But here's a guy that absolutely rejected Jesus Christ. Rejected him. Turned him down. Right that close to him, close enough he could converse with him. Turned him down. Oh, but there's another thing you can do with Jesus. It's what the fellow did on the other side. That fellow on the other side. Look at verse 42. And he said, that's the other thief. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. I tell you, that's one thing you can do. You can receive him. You can receive him. You say, well, I hadn't done anything to deserve. Well, what do you think that thief had done? Back up just a little bit. Here's an honest guy. The other, in verse 40, the other thief answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we, indeed, justly? For we receive the due reward of our deeds. He said, we're guilty. He said, if anything, I deserve to be hanging here. But this man had done nothing. Here's a fellow realized his own need, realized his own condition, and he said, Lord, would you remember me? Here's a fellow that received the Lord Jesus Christ. As humbly, as gratefully as a person could, he said, Lord, would you just remember me? Would you remember me? Hey, what will I do with Jesus? Well, you could receive him. You could receive him. Oh, yep, multitudes avoid him. Many people today doubt him. Many betray him. Many deny him. Many reject him. There's still, thank God, some that receive him. They receive him. But could I just go one more step with you? Can I just take it? What will I do with Jesus? Would you go back to the Gospel of John? John chapter 12. You see, you can do more than just receive him. You can do more than just receiving. Would you look there in John chapter 12? The Bible says, then took Mary, this is in verse 3, John 12:3. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Oh my. You know, you can receive him, but you could go just a little bit further. You could go beyond that one that says, Lord, would you remember me when you come to your kingdom? Would you take me to heaven? You can go past that. Here's Mary, the sister of Lazarus. She knew the Lord. She had seen what he could do. You know what she said? Not by words, but by actions. She said, there is nothing too good for him. Nothing too good for him. As far as she was concerned, she adored the Savior. And she sacrificed for him. The Bible said, man, she took that pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, very costly. She broke it and poured it on the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then she used her hair to wipe those feet dry after anointing them with that ointment. Oh my, what an example. What an example of somebody that'll say, hey, I not only receive you as Savior, I not only ask you to save my soul, it's not just remember me, but I want to go past that. I want to let you know, Lord, how much I adore you. How much I adore you. Man, there's a great song, the words sing, oh, how I love him. How I adore him. My breath, my sunshine, my all in all, the great Creator became my Savior. Oh, listen, that's him. That's him. I'll adore him. I'll sacrifice for him because he's worth it. He's worth it. Can I ask you today, do you adore him? Do you adore him? What have you done to sacrifice for him? Who knows how much you love him? Who's been told? Who's been shown that by you? I want you to think with me about these people. What will I do with Jesus? How's things working out for those that do what they did? Well, let's take a look at Pilate. How'd it work out for Pilate? He said, I'll avoid him. You know what Pilate found out? He couldn't. He could not avoid the Lord. You know what? You try today, you can't avoid him. You're just going to find out you can't avoid him. One of these days, you're going to face him in judgment. One of these days you will stand before him, either at the great white throne judgment or the judgment seat of Christ. But one day you'll stand before him. You cannot avoid him. Impossible for you to avoid him. Those folks that doubted him, we think about Thomas. I don't think doubters fare very well either. Thomas got stuck with that moniker even to the day. What a sad thing to be known as the doubter. Is that the way you want people to remember you and the Lord? You're the one that doubted him. You're the one that doubted him. The Bible talks about some folks in the Old Testament, they turned their back on him. They went away from the Lord. Is that the way you want to be known? I want to be known as the guy that was the doubter. Not me. How about Peter? He denied him. What happened to him? Well, you read a little further there where we read, and the Bible said he went out and wept bitterly, brokenhearted over his denial of the Lord. Those were tears of repentance that he shed. And I'll tell you something. If you've denied him today, that's exactly what you need to do. You need to repent. Amen. If you've refused to stand up and stand for him, you ought to repent. How about Judas? He betrayed him. The Bible said he went out and hanged himself. Hey, he returned the money. But he couldn't find any peace. No peace for him. Why? Because of his deed. Because of his deed. It doesn't turn out. How about the rejecter? That rejecter is burning in hell today. That thief that rejected Christ is burning in hell. If you're listening this morning and you're rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ today, you mark it down. That's your destiny if you don't change. you'll burn for an eternity in hell. In hell. Now, on the other hand, I think about that thief on the other side. Remember me, Lord. You know where he is today? He's rejoicing in heaven. He's rejoicing in heaven. That's where he's at. Oh, what a time. What a wonderful, wonderful time. Wait a minute. How about Mary? How about Mary? We'll say, preacher, I figure she's in heaven. Me too, but wait a minute. It's even better than that. You realize how long it's been since Mary lived on this earth? A couple thousand years right at it. We still talk about her. We still talk about her. We still mention that great deed she did when she sacrificed to anoint the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2,000 years later, still talk about her. You ever get out in a cemetery? I like to walk in the cemeteries. I like to go through cemeteries. But oftentimes in going through a cemetery, I'll come upon a grave and maybe that person's been dead for years and years and years. Been in cemeteries where people the buried there have been buried over 100 years. The thought comes to my mind, who remembers them? Who remembers them today? The truth of the matter is, most people, when they die, you leave about as much impression as you would if you went to the ocean and stuck your finger in and took it out. Don't leave much. But Mary did. Mary did. Why? Because she adored the Lord. She said, nothing's too good for him. I'll sacrifice for him. I want to ask you this morning, how about you? How about you? What will I do with Jesus? What will I do with Jesus? Let me go back and remind you what Pilate did. Pilate let the crowd answer the question for him. He let the crowd answer. He said, all right, you want me to release Barabbas, but what am I going to do with this fellow here? He hadn't done anything wrong. Crucify him. Wait a minute. Here's a governor. Here's Pilate saying an innocent man, and yet he let the crowd to decide. Is that what you're doing today? Are you letting the crowd decide what you're going to do with Jesus? Well, preacher, I don't want to step out and take a stand. I mean, you know, everybody else. What, you're going to let the crowd decide. You're going to let the crowd decide. Hey, you won't speak up for him because you're afraid the crowd will mock you. Oh, you won't stand and deny him, but you won't speak up for him. Why? Because I'm going to let the crowd decide. I'm going to let the crowd decide. Preacher gets up and preaches the word of God, and you just sit there and you go, well, I don't know if we can really believe that. I mean, the scholars say you're going to let the crowd decide, aren't you? What will I do with Jesus? Man, I want to challenge you. First of all, would you receive him today? Would you receive him as your Savior? Would you just receive him? Do like that one thief did, said, Lord, here I am. I'm in a mess. And I know I deserve it, but would you help me? Amen. Would you help me? Would you just call upon him, ask him to save your soul today? Would you just receive him? Then Christian, hey, listen, you've been preached to, you've heard the word of God, you know the truth of the Bible, you've seen it in action. Don't you think it's time you did something for the one that's done so much for you? Don't you think it's time you said, I'll submit to him. I'll sacrifice for him. I'll give him my all because nothing's too good for him. What will you do with Jesus? Would you stand, please, with your heads bowed and eyes closed this morning? As the instruments come, the pianist and the organist, the song leader, we get ready with every head bowed and every eye closed for the invitation hymn. Hey, what are you going to do with Jesus? Well, preacher, I'm just going to put it off. Okay, avoid him, right? Avoid him? Don't do that. Make a decision today. Make a decision. You've received him as Savior, but hey, how much time have you spent letting people know he's your Savior. How much love and adoration have you shown for him? God's dealing with you this morning. We sing the invitation, would you come? If you've never trusted him as Savior, would you meet me here at the front and say, preacher, I want to take Christ as my Savior. Would you do that? Heavenly Father, I pray now, Lord, you deal with us. Here we are. We know the truth. We've heard the truth. We have no excuse. Lord, it's time to decide what we're going to do with Jesus. Would you help us be honest as we look at him today? Lord, help us not to join that crowd like Pilate and think we'll put it off. We'll avoid it. But Lord, help us to make a decision today. Lord, I pray you'd help us to receive you as our Savior. But not only that, to submit to you as Lord and to serve you. Deal with hearts now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We sing this morning the invitation hymn, God speaking to you. Would you come to him? He's been so good to you. What have you done for him? If you need to speak to me, I'll meet you at the front. You come on while we sing. Come on.